So this morning, I just want to bring a simple message of challenge and encouragement. I want us to think about devotion. Devotion of our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really want to look at that little passage that was read for us about the widow who brought her little offering into the temple as a wonderful picture of devotion. And I'm so grateful for Alex and for the way he opened the worship service. He called us in worship to bring the offering of our very selves and our heart, not just our outward actions or behaviors, but to bring our whole selves, our hearts, in devotion to him, to say to him, I want to give everything to you. That's devotion. And this little widow lady, she's just recorded in history for all the world to remember and learn from her devoted heart. So devotion, what is devotion? So I, you know, like a good pastor, I did a lot of research. I went straight to Google. And, well, I just asked for definitions of devotion, right? And I got things like this. The fact or state of being ardently dedicated and loyal. Love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person or activity. There are other words that can be like devotion, allegiance, fidelity, loyalty. One comment says, while all these words mean faithfulness to something to which one is bound by pledge or duty, devotion stresses zeal and service amounting to self-dedication. It is an offering of oneself, gladly offering of oneself to something that you have found worthy of the devotion of your heart and life. And that's the call, isn't it? That's the challenge in a world where everything is clamoring and calling for our devotion. All the offerings of the world asking us to give our hearts and our affections, our time and our energy to someone or something. We have to ask the question, what are we devoted to? Who is worthy of our devotion? The reality is, you see, we were made, we are created to be devoted to something. Our hearts are wired to have an affection or a commitment or a love for something. Because the problem in our world is that we're being offered so many things to love, to give our affection to, our time and our energy. But so many of those things are not worthy. And they don't answer to the heart's longing. They don't satisfy. But who is more worthy than Jesus Christ? Who is more worthy than the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who from eternity came to our world and through the cross was utterly devoted to us? He rightly calls for a heart response of devotion. And so, as we think about that challenge, I just want to look at this widow. It's such a beautiful story, so short, but so profound. And let me just say right at the get-go, this little passage is about people giving money, right? So don't hear anything in this sermon about as a ramp up to be giving money. Ultimately, it's not a call to be just giving money. It's an illustration of the devotion of the heart and life, illustrated by her offering. So that's the key. So don't, again, I'm so concerned that you don't mishear that as some pep talk on tithing. Not that at all. This is devotion of the heart. So one of the things that stands out here is what Jesus knows, what Jesus sees. Just let me give you the picture here. It's Passover in Jerusalem, And Jerusalem has swelled in numbers, maybe by four times, from, say, 50,000 people to 200,000 people, all coming in for Passover. And so Jesus is sitting outside the temple, and he's watching the crowds, and he's watching the people pass by, going in. And as they go in, on the wall, there are these huge brass receptacles, big metal funnels, as it were. And as the people walk by, they're throwing money in. Throwing, as it says there, many rich people threw in large amounts. And so it's not an FPOS machine, right? It's not a swipe card. It's, do you remember money? You know, coins, shekels. So as they throw them in, you can hear the clanging in the big receptacle as it's flowing through. And then this little widow puts in what's described here in the NIV as two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. But do you see what happens here? Everybody can see and hear the clanging metal. No one will hear her little coins drop in. No one, except Jesus. He knows what she's done. He knows her heart. The Son of God sees it. He sees and he knows, and his response is so encouraging and challenging. See what he says there in verses 43 and 44. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." You know, just what Jesus observes here, what he knows of her heart and what he sees, it's the same with us. He knows, he sees, he observes our hearts. That's both encouraging and challenging, right? But he's making an observation here as well. He's been preaching on the difference between false religion and true religion. He's been speaking about an external religion that's just all performance without heart, and comparing that to a genuine heart for God. He talked previously, that's why I had that passage read, about what's the summary of the commandments. Verse 30 says, "It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Heart religion. A real work of the Spirit. And that's what he sees in this woman. He's comparing, in a sense, those who know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who trust in themselves and their performance. What does this offering symbolize? It symbolizes a life devoted to God. And there's some principles just to draw out of this. One principle is this, that the proportion matters more than the amount. When it said she gave two small copper coins, in the original language, the word there is lepta, not showing off, but it means peeled. You know, it's like you take a potato peeler and you peel off a little piece of metal. It's like a shaving of metal. It's so fine, so small, so insignificant. I've done some figures, and it's about 1/64th of a day's wages, which in today's terms might be about $2.50. And so in that sense, it really is nothing compared to those shekels thrown in. They were throwing in lots of shekels. Her little coins were about, if you're mathematical, 1/400 of a shekel, of one shekel. It is so small. And you know, we can stand back and say, well, that's not much. Because we can be impressed with largeness and big sums. But see, God's accounting is so different. God's accounting of what's valuable and what's valuable to him is so different. He says, they all gave out of their wealth, out of large sums, they gave some. She, out of all she had, gave it all. It's the proportion. And there's two things that he says about that. She put in everything, and then he adds another description, all she had to live on. What do you think about that? You know, when I think about that, if I had two coins, what would I do? I'd be a good boy and I'd put one in, and I'd keep the other one so I could buy a sandwich. She put it all in. In a sense, not knowing what comes next. That's what Jesus observed. They gave heaps and had heaps left over. She gave everything. Again, it's two religions, you see. Love for God or love for self. One is wrought by grace in the heart. The other is wrought by self. Well, there's another principle here that should be clear, really. It's that the heart matters more than the amount. The heart matters more than the amount. They gave because they could. She gave because she had to. Her heart compelled her to express her devotion for God in this absolutely sacrificial way. See, notice again its radicalness. It meant not even knowing where her food would come from. Why does it matter? Why does it matter to God? He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need her two little coins. He doesn't even need the shekels. He doesn't need any of it. He owns everything. He can do what he wants. In one sense, he doesn't even need us to establish his kingdom that he calls for all of us. To devote our hearts and our lives, and that's what he has chosen to use and to work through. And what he asks and what he commands and what he deserves is the devotion of our hearts. Everything else follows. And we get, like her, the privilege of being involved in what he's doing. One writer says it's like, he owns us, he's brought us, he owns our money, our possession, our time and our talents and energies. When we give to him, one writer says, anything we give to him, he has first given to us, like a father giving pocket money to his children so they can buy him a birthday present and get the joy. See? Well, there's another principle here. It's that devotion is trust. Devotion is trust. She put in everything, all she had to live on. There's a little story that's told about a little boy in Sunday school, and the teacher was talking about missionaries and giving to the missionaries. And she said to the children, who are very excited about all of this, if they could give $1 million to the missionaries, would they give it? And they said, yes, we would. And then she said, well, if you had $1,000, would you give it? Oh, yes, they said, absolutely. She said, what about if you had 100? Yep, yes, we'd give that. And then she said, well, what about if you had just $1 to give? And they all said, oh, yes, we would, except one little boy didn't answer. And she said, well, Johnny, why didn't you answer? And he's clutching his pocket and he says, well, it's because I do have $1. Devotion is trust. Trust in two ways. One is that he can multiply. He can take the little that we are or that we have or that we give him, and he and his mighty hands can multiply. Don't you love the story of the feeding of the 5,000? How did he feed the 5,000? Well, again, sovereignly, miraculously, but he used something. He used the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, which I think is like 2 crackers and some sardines. It was a little boy's lunch that ended up in the hands of Christ. Like the loaves and the fishes, you see, God can do mighty things with the little that we give out of devotion. Somebody said, with a small gift, the gospel, a New Testament may be purchased, which leads to the conversion of someone who wins many others to Christ or is the instrument of a great revival. Our little can be used for someone else to do big things. It doesn't matter. It's the devotion of our heart, and the glory is God's. History is filled with nameless saints who were used of God to help others who did, as it were, mightier things than they. I often think about Christian history. We read about all these great names in Christian history. There are hundreds of thousands of names that are never recorded that went to heaven hearing Christ say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because of your devotion." No one else knows about it. But I received it and I used it and I multiplied it. You know, we preachers love to talk about the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was used to bring many people to Christ. But he was brought to Christ by someone who couldn't really preach and who had to fill in one day, and he kept repeating the same words over and over again, and then he pointed to Spurgeon and challenged him, and Spurgeon came to Christ and God used him to lead multitudes. But there was the devotion of that other preacher whose name we don't even know perhaps. Here's another story. If you're going to sleep, I'll tell you another story. It's a story about a violin, so maybe you've heard this. And it was a great story. So this famous violinist was advertised as doing a concert, and it was said that he was going to do the concert on this priceless violin. The figure I have here is $20,000. It's probably more like $2 million in today's money. Some priceless violin. And so he comes to the concert stage and he plays this absolutely astounding piece of music on this violin. And when he finishes, the whole audience stands and applauds at the wonder of his playing. And then when they stopped applauding, he threw the violin on the stage and smashed it to pieces and walked off. And everyone's in shock. And then the MC comes out and says, "It's okay," he said. The violin that he smashed wasn't the $1 million violin. It was a $20 violin. And now he's going to play on the really valuable one. So he comes out and he plays the second half of the concert on the really valuable violin. Once again, a standing ovation. But the striking thing is, no one can tell the difference between the playing in the first part and the second part, because it wasn't about the violin, it was about the player. I see, that's us in God's hands. Most of us are $10 violins, right? But we offer ourselves to God in devotion and let him do his thing, because in his eyes, our little, given with a heart of love, is worth much. There's another aspect here. I said devotion is trust. It's trust that God can take what we give and use it for his glory. It's also a trust that he can provide when we make sacrifice. Again, God didn't need her 2 little coins. The temple didn't need her 2 little coins. Why not keep it? Why not make sure she could eat? What did her little coins matter? Well, they mattered to God and they mattered to her. She was silently saying to God, "I love you, and all I have is yours. Here is my heart, my life. And see, I think she knew something that many of the others did not know. When the others threw in money, they had heaps to continue life with. But she knew that by giving it all, she could absolutely lean her whole life on her God to take care of her. That's the joy. That's the experience she gets through that offering. In one sense, no sacrifice at all to experience the greatness and the grace of God more than the others. She knew that God was no man's debtor and that he would take care of his little lamb and that he would not fail to supply her needs. There's a great line in an old hymn that I love which says, "My Jesus can repay out of his own fullness all he takes away." In her act of devotion, she knows the blessing of freedom, freedom from trusting her meager earnings to the freedom of trusting him. There's a life principle there. As we lay everything on the altar, we gain the freedom of trusting him instead of those things. While we cling to the things of this world, the passing things, we miss the experience of the greater love. There's another marvelous illustration in the book of Mark of devotion. It's in chapter 14. I won't read it, but it's that story of that other woman who comes with the alabaster jar of perfume, and she breaks it open and she pours it on Jesus as an act to see. Jesus honors her, and she's recorded for all of history to see. That's a different kind of offering, but still a picture of devotion. The offering that she brought was worth a lot of money, maybe worth $50,000, because it was a family heirloom, something that gets passed through the generations. But in that story, it's very clear. It says she broke it, because unlike our bottles with screw tops or whatever, the only way to get what's inside out is to break it. And once it's broken, it all has to come out. That's it. And out of love for Christ, she breaks it and pours it all out. Somebody, that heirloom worth so much represents her future, her provision. But again, it's poured out on him. As somebody says, it's a picture of an intensely fervent expression of devotion. But in gratitude for the past, she pours her future and her security on Jesus, like the widow's two copper coins, she gave it all. So the question is, where does that devotion come from? Where does that devotion come from? Well, in the end, it comes from grasping Jesus' own devotion to us. Little us. Broken, sinful us. The great Bishop Ryle said, "It is vain to expect someone to do much for Christ if there is no sense of debt to Christ. There is no sense of what he has really done to rescue us." Where does it come from? All over the world, people are devoted to rituals and efforts to earn divine favor, but the Christian gospel is completely different to all of that. Christian devotion arises out of the fact that Christ is devoted to us and already has poured out his favor on us. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. And he gave it to us. He gave it to us in his own pure act of devotion. Our devotion is a natural response to the greatest act of devotion this world will ever know. That the spotless Son of God laid aside his glory and came into our sin-stained world, took our flesh upon himself, and then went to the cross And on the cross, in his body and soul, bore, experienced the depths of God's just wrath against our sin, that we should never have to face that wrath ourselves, but only the love and embrace of God. That is the greatest act of devotion. Nothing compares with it. He did that to rescue us who by nature don't love God, who by nature are hostile to him. Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be, says another psalm. The greatest act of devotion. He gave more than the two mites or the two coins. He was like that alabaster jar of perfume, broken and poured out to rescue us and bring us into the joy of eternity and into a joy of relationship with him. That's where devotion comes from. To meditate on the love of Christ for us, so that we would love him with all our hearts. Forgive me for, I'll close with quoting some words for another old song. It says this: "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true. He chose a poor and humble lot. He wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who loved him not." Last two verses. This one's a bit strange. It says, "It is most wonderful to know his love for me so free and sure, but 'tis more wonderful to see my love for him so faint and poor." Not saying our faint love is wonderful. What is wonderful is that in the light of the faintness of our love for him, he still constantly, faithfully, unchangeably loves us. And so here's our prayer: "And yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart, and I will love thee more and more until I see thee as you are." Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for this beautiful widow. Thank you for her profound act of devotion that stands through history as an encouragement and challenge to us and leads us again to Christ, to the foot of the cross, to his great love for us. Lord, we acknowledge, even as we love you, our love is still so faint and poor compared to the love that you have for us. Thank you that you are faithful. You bear with us and continue with us. We pray that you continue to pour your Spirit into our lives, that with our lives, our hearts, our strength, our breath, we would love you and devote ourselves to you, that you would take our small offering and use it for the glory alone of your great name. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.